Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. As you find your place there, I'd invite you to stand as we read a few verses here this morning, beginning with verse number 17. Romans chapter 12, verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us as we consider a few simple thoughts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We've been considering the topic of anger here over the last several weeks. We've seen that God himself possesses that emotion that we know as anger. He himself gets angry over certain things. We also saw in Ephesians chapter 4 that God's people are commanded to be angry. Now, the disclaimer on that is as we show our anger, we're not to be unkind. We're not to be ungracious. We're never to lose sight that we're to be in the image of God and behave accordingly. And so our anger does not reveal itself the same way that the world's anger reveals itself. Well, this morning I'd like to move into the area of how to conquer our anger. Now, I don't anticipate getting through everything this morning. It'll take several messages to do that. We'll take it a step at a time. But probably all of us, if not all of us, most of us have issues with anger. Anger is something that we all possess, being created in the image of God. And it's something the devil knows how to tweak or how to prod in your life. Because most of the anger, probably 99.9% of the anger that we see in the world, is not the anger that God would have us to have. The anger that we're commanded to have is directed at the sin and not the individual. And it's to be directed at things that would dishonor the name of God. But most of the anger that we experience is anger over issues that involve ourselves. Our pride has been damaged. Our reputation has been called in question. And so the anger begins to boil. We've been inconvenienced. And how dare they do these things to me? And so I guess the best way to describe anger is we begin to see red. And we just want to let them have a piece of our mind, don't we? And we want to respond the way they responded to us, and we want to get back at them and to get even. How do we keep that from happening? Here in the book of Romans chapter 12, the last verse that we read is the verse we'll be looking at primarily this morning. Let me read that again. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a vast difference between evil and good in a person's life. In fact, if we want to respond in like fashion and display our anger the same way the world displays theirs, I think we ought to keep in mind a quote by the Bible commentator Matthew Poole when he said that in revenge of injuries, he is a loser that gets the better. Now, in our minds, that is just not an accurate statement. But in reality, he's speaking to us the truth according to the word of God. He is a loser that gets the better when it comes to revenge of injuries. And when he uses the word injuries, he's not speaking only of physical injury, but he's talking of emotional injury too. When people attack us, if it is our goal to get even, God says we'll be the loser. Or Matthew Poole says we'll be the loser. And God says it, I believe, as well. And so we're to not be overcome with evil. And so that's the first thing we need to understand is that we're conquerors through Christ. We have an option. We have a choice to make in every situation. You see, the world is held captive and in bondage to sin. And when they face something in their lives, they really don't have any opportunity to choose righteously. They don't have any opportunity to choose the godly path or the road that the Word of God tells us to walk down. They're just simply following the commands and the inclinations and the will of their father, the devil himself. But we have the victory over that. And we've got to remind ourselves over and over and over again that we are the victors. All we have to do is go to the back of the book, don't we? And read in the book of Revelation and see what God has prepared for us. And we know that when we close our eyes in death to this world, that will open them in life for all eternity in the presence of our Savior. We have conquered death. We have conquered sin. We have conquered temptation. All through the person of Jesus Christ, who actually is the one who did all the battle and gave us the victory. We're only conquerors through Him. We cannot work it up through the flesh. And so He commands us, be not overcome of evil. I'm reminded of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Don't be overcome by him. You see, that's evil is the devil. Don't allow him to get the best of you. And so in those situations where your pride is injured, when your feelings are hurt, when you're inconvenienced by the actions of another person, remind yourself, I am not going to allow the devil to have the victory today. I'm going to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to have control of my life, and I am going to allow Him to give me the victory over this situation. Be not overcome of evil, the evil being the devil, but the evil also is temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, God tells us that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But you got to love the rest of this. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Why would he do that? That you may be able to bear it. Temptation to sin is never of God. It's the devil trying to cause you to have your relationship with God severed or broken, if only for a moment. Temptation to lose your testimony. Temptation to cause another to fall and to stumble. The temptation to have you give a lost person an excuse to never receive Christ as their Savior. These are some pretty serious things as we think about them. I wonder how many people are in hell today because I gave in to temptation as a Christian. And they from a distance looked at me and said, if that's what a Christian is, I'll have nothing to do with it. I wonder. You see, we'll never know the answer to that question. At least not in this life, if ever in the next. I don't think I want to know. How about you? I don't think that's anything I want to know. But you see, the devil will tempt you to anger because there is no quicker way to lose your testimony than the flare-up of anger. And so when that temptation comes, you need to remind yourself, I have the victory over this through faith in Christ as a child of God. And this temptation that I'm experiencing just might be the cause of another soul going to hell. And I don't want that. I am not going to give in. I'm reminded also, as we consider being overcome of evil, the devil certainly is included in that. Temptation also included in that. But I believe that, to an extent, human adversaries would fall into this category. 1 Corinthians 16:9, as the Apostle Paul, unnerved by the Holy Spirit of God, was writing to the church there at Corinth, he says these words, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me." Well, what a marvelous thing. We all would hope for that in our lives and in our service to God and our church experience, our church ministry. Man, it would be wonderful if there was a great door open unto us and effectual. God was blessing it, and lives were being changed and lives were being touched and won for the Savior through the ministries of the Apostle Paul in Corinth. But he went on to conclude that verse saying, even though there's this great door and God is blessing in such a marvelous way, don't make any mistakes, because he goes on to say, there are many adversaries. Many adversaries, many people standing up in the way, many people trying to shut us down, people that are going about bad-mouthing what we're doing and trying to tell others that we're charlatans and that we're just not speaking the truth. Adversaries. Now, they're not the ones with whom we're to grow angry, because it's easy to get frustrated in a situation like that. Well, let's put yourself into that situation. I encourage you to grab gospel tracts and to leave them everywhere and anywhere you can. And let's say you're doing that. I was looking at clothes the other day, and you ever put a gospel tract, stuff it in the pants pocket or the coat pocket? All right, let's just say you're doing that. You're out shopping and you have a whole bunch of gospel tracts in your shirt and you pull one out, or in your purse and you pull one out and you stuff it in a pocket, and you walk on and down the rack a little bit and you put another one in. You walk down the rack a little bit and you put another one in. And you go around the other side and you start doing the same, but you see them through or over the top or whatever. You see someone going behind and reaching in that pocket, pulling out and balling it up. And they get to the next one, they reach an adversary. What are you going to think? What's going to go through your mind at that moment that you discover them pulling all the tracks out and balling them up to discard them? In that moment, isn't there that little flare of the possibility of anger? How dare they do that? I can't believe they would have the nerve to do what they're doing. You see, the devil's going to start pushing all those buttons in your life to try to cause you to have a little bit of anger. Because if you can display then some anger, God then has every right to remove the blessing of you doing what you're doing. You see, we have adversaries. And those adversaries take the form of flesh and blood, of other people that you and I live around and dwell with. In our community, those that are lost are doing nothing more than what their Father bids them. And we need to understand that. And instead of getting angry at them, perhaps it would be better to walk back around that rack, pull out a gospel tract, and say, "I'd like to invite you to my church. Can I tell you about Jesus, who died for your sins and offers you an eternity in heaven?" Wouldn't it be better to have a response like that than to get in their face and have an argument? You see, we have options because we're conquerors. We're victors through Christ. And we need to remind ourselves of that, that we're not a defeated individual, that we are not losers in this battle. So that when the devil comes in his various ways in which he comes, as that roaring lion, seeking to devour you through temptation and through other adversaries, that you just simply tell them, "I'm not going to be overcome by evil, but rather I'm going to do what the rest of the verse says, which is to simply overcome evil with what? With good.
Amen.
That's our answer, isn't it? When the temptation for anger comes in our lives, we need to stop in our tracks and say, what would be the good response to that one who just injured me with their words? Yes, it injured. Yes, it hurt. But what would the good response be? What would the right response be to that one who just inconvenienced me? What would the good response be? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. A good demeanor. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, look over there with me if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. God says this, in meekness, instructing those that, notice this, oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We need to have this good demeanor, this meekness. What does meekness mean? As we think on that word, we get word pictures in our mind as how meekness would display itself. Meekness is just simply having the character and nature of our Savior. If you want a good definition or description of meekness, turn over to the book of Galatians. He gives us one there. Galatians chapter 5. If you know your Bible, you know exactly what I'm going to read. God uses 9 descriptors of meekness for us, with meekness being one of those 9. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse number 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I'll summarize this whole message that's going to take me several messages to get through for you right now. Just don't turn me off for the whole rest of it, okay? We just read the answer to any anger problem you may have. It's right there in black and white for you. The fruit of the Spirit. You just memorize that. Now, I would encourage you to do that. Now, you may say, well, I can't memorize Scripture. I'll bet you can. You want to make a bet with a Baptist preacher? Sometimes you say things and you think about what you just said and say, you know, I probably should have worded that differently. I think you can. The reason we don't memorize Scripture is because we really don't want to try. But you know what? There's things we want to do, and we always figure that out, don't we? And we might say, well, I don't have time. Well, we have time to do what we want to do, don't we? There is no reason why we can't. And if you're struggling with anger and looking for an answer, there's your answer right there. The reason why we struggle with so many ills in our lives, anger being one of many, is because we aren't willing to follow through with what it will take to resolve it. We're just not willing to. We would rather deal with the issue, anger, than to deal with the solution. It's easier. The path of least resistance. But we're talking about having a good demeanor. This is how we overcome evil with good. In the book of Proverbs, turn over there if you would. And I want you to see these so that if you are in the habit of marking your Bible, you might mark them if you have any issues at all with anger. Because these are passages of Scripture that supply your answer that you've been looking for. You remember when Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit after his baptism into the wilderness? And he went 40 days and 40 nights without eating. And then the devil came at the conclusion of that, and he looked at the stones and says, hey, those stones look just like bread. Jesus, why don't you just make yourself some bread? You got to be hungry by now. How did Jesus respond? And when he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple, how did Jesus respond to that temptation? When he showed him all the kingdom of the world, how did Jesus respond? With Scripture. With Scripture. And so that's why I want you to see these. And that's why I suggest that if you want to overcome those harsh words, that anger in your life, scripture memorization will be your key. It really will. Give the Holy Spirit something in your mind that He can draw from, that you might be able to follow Him as He leads you to the victory that we're talking about today. We're in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The next time someone wants to give you a piece of their mind, give this a try. See how it works. You can diffuse another person's anger quicker than you'd ever believe possible if you just follow what God tells us to do. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words just make it worse. Now, that's not the words God chose to use, but that's how I understand when He says stir up anger. It just makes it worse. Just pours oil on the fire. And so, how do we overcome evil with good? By having a good demeanor. By offering good words in response. Not calling them an idiot when they're giving us a piece of their mind. You know, that usually doesn't help matters. It really doesn't. You might want to choose something a little bit more cordial, like, well, friend, how can I help you? Or something along that line. Don't insult them. Be generous and gracious. Be willing to admit fault and error. Boy, that's a tough one. I forgot to tell my wife to plug her ears on that admit error thing. There's a reason she has that sign that says, or that little wall hanging. When I met Mr. Wright, I didn't realize it was his first name. Oh, yeah, his first name is Always. Always Right, yeah. But anyway, sometimes we just need to be willing to admit we're wrong. I forgot to tell you to plug your ears again. I'm losing my touch. Anyway, not an easy thing to do. But what we're talking about is overcoming evil with good. How can we respond with good? Rather than getting angry, rather than responding in like fashion, how should we respond? And so it will be helpful if we were to memorize this verse as well as the fruit of the Spirit. Because we then will have something dwelling in our minds and in our hearts that the Holy Spirit will draw from. He'll say, hey, you remember what I told you here? Put that into practice. Right now would be the appropriate time before you say something you'll regret in just a few minutes. Before this escalates beyond what it is. Let's diffuse it now. Let's take all the air out of their hot air balloon just now and bring it down to the ground and work something constructive out of this. All right. Back in the book of Romans, chapter 12. We are conquerors through Christ. God assures us of that in so many different verses. Too often we live like defeated children of God. That ought never be. And so He tells us here to overcome evil with good. Now, if we back up just a little bit into verse number 20, He says there's another thing we can use to overcome evil with good. We use our good demeanor. We use our good words. But here He says, good works. Good works. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine, who is this? Your neighbor? Your best friend? The answer is supposed to be no. What word does He use? Let's put it that way. Your enemy. Not our friend. Not our co-worker. Not our fellow church member. But if your enemy hunger, take great delight. Rejoice on how God is getting even for you. That's not at all what He says, is it? He says, you jump into action. You do what you can to help. He says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. He says, find out what his needs are, her needs are, and do what you can, do what is in your power to be a friend, to be a friend. Now, they're your enemy. That has been their choice. Now, if we back up a couple more verses to verse number 18. He says, if it be possible. In other words, it's not always going to be possible, but make an effort. Do what you can to bring this about. That's what he's saying. As if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. In other words, give it everything you've got. 110%. Pull out all the stops. Now here's what we're supposed to do, if it be possible. Live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. And so then when we look at verse number 20, and we see that we're to do everything we can to help, to be a friend, we understand that not every enemy is going to be willing to accept our help, is going to be willing to accept our overtures of friendship. It's not possible, according to verse number 18. He says, if it is, and you do everything you can, don't leave anything behind. Give it 110%. Make that effort. You do everything you can to be a friend, but it's not always going to be accepted. But we're not absolved of the responsibility to try. And it's up to us to make that first step. They're our enemy. They would like nothing more than to see us destroyed. And the devil then will bring that temptation to make you want to see them destroyed instead. Where God says, be a friend. Be vulnerable. Put yourself out there. You see, we're talking about being a conqueror through Christ, so that we're not overcome of evil, but that we rather overcome evil with good. When we remember this verse and these applications, it will help us when anger arises in your heart, in order that God will get the glory and good will be the outcome. Father, we're thankful for this passage of Scripture. Father, we know it's so easy to grow angry, but Father, we know that's not generally your will in our lives. You want us to be that light. You want us to be that salt, that others might see us and our good works and glorify you in heaven and be drawn to the Savior. Father, there's so many in this world that are lost that if they were to die, they'd wind up in hell for all eternity simply because they've never received Christ. And so often it's because no one's ever told them. So often it's because Christians have been a bad testimony. Father, help that not be said of us. Help us to be that good testimony that would draw others unto thyself, that we might have that opportunity to share Christ crucified, risen, and coming again with those that we come in contact with. And so, Father, we pray that just now you'll help us to make the decision, the conscious decision, that aided by your Holy Spirit, we will do our best to overcome evil with good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.